have to have so many different things for different projects that might develop. He is the community developer portion of our program in Pleiku. He lives here with his wife, Dorothy, who does the craft buying, and she was one of them that I had planned on seeing, but she went to Singapore to be with the kids and didn't get back in time. This is his personal development, a banana tree in a box. He had quite a time getting it started. Dave is a Methodist minister and a member of the Dakota Conference. This is one of his projects, a sewing school, meets in this building, which is a part of a, used to be, a Montagnard school. Just recently, they converted it to an ag school so that Vietnamese could come out and work on some agricultural projects and have a place to work. Another very subtle way in which they're usurping those preparations and advantages that have been available to the Montagnards but are rapidly disappearing. The Montagnards are pretty much the type of second-class citizens as our Negroes and Americans. They remind me more of our Negroes and Indians, excuse me. They look a little more like the Indians, I think. These boys are part of the school life there. And these are the young women in the sewing class. I just didn't get a very good picture. That woman in the front was a little bit shy. They provide the rice for their noon meal, and here we are delivering the rice for that day's portions. Our main adventure that day, that morning, was a trip to the Special Forces Experimental Farm. And here we are arriving. This is commonly known by most of us, I think, as the Green Beret. They operate this farm, shown here, with some of the vegetation, for their own food and livestock supplies for their table, as well as experimenting with the growth of things that would benefit this particular area. Here you see in the to the right some flowers. They have flowers, they have vegetables. Here you will note some livestock out in the field, as well as the plants in the foreground. And here you will see some of the hogs that they have. They look lean and nice and about good enough to eat. This will show you just how close they adjoin the camp, which is the very next piece of property, of course. And here comes a helicopter in. This pond is the fish pond. And our main reason for a visit that day was the fact that Dave had been promised some fingerlings to stock a fish pond being built in a Montagnard village. This young lady is a Vietnamese who is in charge of the operation of the Special Forces Experimental Farm, and she really knows her business. The lieutenant then is the Green Beret, who is officially supervising the project. This young lady has some 10 Montagnards working under her. It's a very unusual situation. They seldom speak to each other, and here she is in charge of 10, and they seem to work in very close harmony. The Green Beret lieutenant was very pleased with the way she operated the farm and the working relationship she had with the men. Here they're getting out the nets and preparing to enter the ponds to net the fingerlings for us. They've made one haul with a net, looking at it to see what the results were. Here you can see we're picking out the fish that are to be be kept, the rest to be returned to the water. This is the barrel into which our supplies are being put for transportation. Lieutenant Reeves and his manager are looking over, and the man in the background is preparing the net for the next run. It's quite a ways into a village, and we're just now beginning the trip, and we had to make some roundabout take some roundabout roads because there's so many gullies and ruts that we were afraid we were going to bounce out all the fish before we got there. Here we've entered a little deeper into the area and are heading uphill. I just thought that would give you some idea of how far back in the woods some of these villages were located. This seemed to me to be a rather nice, permanently settled village. They had good vegetation. Their plots were arranged neatly, fenced off. Their houses were in good order. Many of them had these tin roofs. And this is Dave and Kim going up to see the man who supposedly is in charge of the fish pond that was built, to tell him that we are delivering the fish. This is one of the roads, the fences, the trees. I just thought it would give you an idea of the orderly way in which their village was kept. Flowers even in this one, and some typical living houses. We cut off clear off across this field now, heading for the fish pond where we're going to stock with these fingerlings. And there's the Land Rover that we were driving, and the truck from the Special Forces camp with the young lady and the lieutenant and the fish in the barrel. The little montagnards were so small that they couldn't raise that barrel enough to get across a fence. We had to do some fence hopping, so the lieutenant had to give him a hand on that. This is the end of the journey, and the fingerlings are being placed in the fish pond that has been dug and prepared by the Montagnards themselves as one of the projects they voted on to try and make work and to provide some variety to their economy and to their tables. As we finished that particular portion of the trip, we stopped at the chief's house to tell him what had been done, introduced the lieutenant and the young lady managing the farm, but the chief wasn't home, and his little girl was busy. She kept trying to pick up these bamboo shoots and put them in the basket, and every time she put one in, they were so big they turned over the basket. So I helped her, and here she goes up the steps. She finally got them all fixed up, ready to go. In the afternoon, we headed out toward some other villages in the opposite direction. This is a view of Playboy Village. You spell it P-L-E-I-B-O-I. And they have a distinctive pattern on the crafts that I have coming from this village. This has been a resettlement, and it's a smaller village, and it isn't as old as the one that we saw just before. That one, by the way, when we asked how long it had been there, said, well, they'd been there since the Japanese. So that's one way of telling time. And that's just modern history for these people here. This is Playboy Village, really a relocated refugee village. And I went out here with Sally Kimberly, who is a public health nurse. And she has a public health project in a number of these small villages. Here you'll see her dispensing medicine two people who have come. The Land Rover pulls up on a street in the village. She flips down the back gate and pulls out the medicine chest, and she's in business. This man has TB. They can't get him into the hospital very often. He's been in there a couple of times, but now he's on medication and really not doing too well. You'll note the child in the background and the woman in her attire. They wear the topless look and the long skirts. The men, you'll notice, have on loincloths. And they wear those loincloths until their strings about and about wear off. They usually have only the one, and they wear it all the time. This, I thought, was an interesting face. I enjoyed just watching this man. He was trying to help the other old gentleman tell how he was feeling and what was going on so that Sally would know the state of his health. One of the group that was gathered around. And these are the little children that gathered around whenever she came along. You'll note the one on the right. She is chewing tobacco. They roll their tobacco in banana leaves or betel nut leaves and put it in the mouth sort of like a cigar. Women and children and men alike are constantly smoking that. This young man has in his hands a number of pipes, and these are some of the pipes that I sell in the craft shop. They're the carved ceremonial pipes, and Sally is inspecting this one to see if it's the good quality that we usually like to have, and if it's made well so that we